This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Today's edition of Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Enigma Fishing. Cast, catch, repeat. And visitanderson.com, South Carolina's bright spot and home to beautiful Lake Hartwell. And by the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, home for the greatest professional fishermen in the world and the Super Bowl of bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the college bracket event that leads to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, just visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster. And use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. 2 weeks ago, one of the biggest names in professional fishing, Mike Iaconelli, won the BassPro.com Bassmaster Eastern Open on the James River. But just to show how much talent there is out there, this past weekend, the Central Open was in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and local stick Devin Tagan, fishing his first ever BASS event of any kind, took down a field dot with big-name pros from all the major circuits. Devin is coming up on the opening segment to talk about his win. Now, on Lake Chickamauga, another college national championship for the machine that is Bethel College. Gary Mason is the coach there, and this is their eighth national title. Bethel actually finished first and third in Dayton, Tennessee, and Coach Mason is in our middle segment. And in the cleanup role, a guy who has been cleaning up lately, I mean, not necessarily hoisting the blue trophy yet, but Chad Pipkins has been all over the top 10 in five of his last six events on the elites and open events. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. It's a Legends and Newbies edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And, you know, as I said in the open, at the James River, we had one of the most well-known anglers on the planet, Bassmaster Classic champion Mike Iaconelli, win that tournament. So we turn around the next week and go to La Crosse, Wisconsin, with the BassPro.com Bassmaster Central Open. And one of the ultimate local hammers, Devin Tagan, gets the win. And he does it in his first ever BASS event. I mean, this is an incredible story, and he joins us now. Devin, welcome to the show. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Am I saying the last name right? Is it Tagan or Tagan?
It's actually Tagan.
Tagan. Okay. All right. So Devin Tagan. I don't want to get your name wrong. I mean, it's you know.
This oh, that's okay.
your first event with BASS, and you win the thing. Now, you have had a lot of success, obviously, up there in La Crosse on the Mississippi River. You fished BFLs and done some things up there and had a bunch of top tens. But what was the motivation? What made you think, you know what, I think I'm going to enter this Central Open here in my backyard?
Like I said, some other people, I wanted to fish all the opens in the Central Division this year, but it just wasn't in my schedule. Actually moved twice in the last 8-9 months and recently bought a house, and it just, unfortunately, it didn't fall in the schedule, but I really wanted to try to get in the La Crosse one. Unfortunately, I was able to get in, so thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think. And, you know, nice, tidy little check as well that went along with this win. So that then hurt. Now, what do you do for a living? Tell us a little bit about Devin Tagan.
I'm actually a CNC machinist. Mm-hmm. I work in a prototype shop. We do lots of different stuff. Cut every pretty much every material you can think of, everything from plastic to really hard stainlesses. Pretty fun job. Get to do a lot of different stuff. It never really gets boring. So I've been doing that for a little over 6 years. I guess I grew up not too far from the river. I grew up probably about half hour just north of like the Wabasha area.
Right.
And I currently live about 20 minutes from pools 4 and 5. So pretty fortunate that I live that close to such a great fishery.
Yeah.
Lacrosse is probably an hour and a half from my house. So pretty cool. I get to be that close to that good of a fishery.
How many days a year do you think you spend on the water? Are you out there, you know, a couple times a week? And obviously the water gets hard, in Wisconsin for a good chunk of the year.
Yeah.
But how much time do you actually get to spend out there on the water?
Being that close, not as much as I'd like. I work a lot of hours, so I'd say, you know, I usually only fish if I got tournaments coming up.
Yeah.
A lot of times I fish tournaments, probably every other weekend throughout the summer, so I'm still down quite a bit. I'd probably say probably at least every other weekend from, you know, probably April to end of October, so I'm still out quite a bit.
Yeah. Is this giving you any kind of thought process as to what you might want to do going forward? I mean, you go into something like this, you win a tournament that has 200 guys in it and some pretty big names. Is it, what's the goal for you in your fishing career? Are you just going to stay local, or do you think, you know what, I wouldn't mind giving this thing a shot down the road?
You know, I've always had that dream of competing at a higher level. But it's not an easy thing to do. I currently don't have any sponsors, so, mm-hmm. you know, financially it'd be a little tougher, but it definitely would be a dream of mine. And, you know, this maybe gave me a little shot of boost of confidence to show that I maybe can compete at a little bit higher level. I did probably have a little advantage being it's water I'm pretty familiar with. But I guess we'll kind of see how things go down the road. I'd like to try to fish, you know, some different areas in the United States.
Right.
I've been down south a couple times, but nothing as far as big tournaments or anything. This is by far the biggest I've fished. So
yeah. Now, you were extremely consistent. You had 13-15 day one, 12-7 day two. Your best day was the last day, and you had the best day of anybody on the water. Just take us through that final day and when you start to think that you had 16-13 to win this thing by a pound and a half or so. Just take us through your mindset and when you're thinking, you know what, I think I might be winning this thing.
Well, I didn't really make my mind up of for sure what I was going to do until driving to the landing the final day. My favorite way to fish is with a frog. Done it for a lot of years on the river there, and I'd had some good bites on a frog in practice. My biggest concern was a lot of that water probably got beat up by other anglers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pretty good smallmouth pattern going early in the week, and so that's what I kind of stuck to the first day and, you know, through about halfway through the second day, and then I kind of switched to largemouth stuff. I started throwing a frog, and I got some quality keeper bites pretty quick on day two, and then ended up finishing out my limit throwing a frog. So I decided on day three, I was pretty stoked that I just made it to day three, so I was going to try to just go out and get some big bites, and I was just going to stick to doing that. If I caught fish right away, that's what I was going to do all day. And when I got to the first area I was going to fish, I caught the biggest fish I caught throughout the whole tournament within the first 10 minutes. So I knew it was going to be a good day. I just stuck to what I do and what I know I can do best, and that's throw a frog, and that's what I enjoy the most. And I just had a lot of fun the last day. I probably caught 15, 20 keepers, and the first four I caught were all really nice ones. So I knew that I would have to have at least 17, 18 pounds to even have a shot, and that the guys up towards the top would probably have to have a bad day.
Yeah.
And even catching a limit was good in this tournament. The river was fishing probably the toughest I ever seen it. So
these weights are low. Yeah. I mean, when you look at your winning weight of 43 pounds, less than 15 pound a day average, going into the tournament, did you think that would take north of 50, or what was your thought process as you were going in?
I knew the fishing would probably be quite a bit tougher than normal just because of the falling water. And mm-hmm. we've had a lot of rain the weeks, before the tournament. And so the river had really come up fast. And then, It really dropped fast. I knew it would be a lot of changing conditions and the fish would be on the move. So I was thinking if a guy could catch around 15 pounds a day, that he'd probably be right up there, you know, probably in the top five. Yeah. If you could hold that 3 pound average. So I was pretty surprised that that's what it took to win. So yeah.
Now you were throwing at Spro Bronze Eye Frog, and just tell us about that, because you threw different colors, but there was one color that was kind of producing more than others, and just tell us how you prepare that bait. We'll do a little technique of the week. You know, do you trim the tails, or what are you doing on that thing?
Yeah, there's quite a few colors that I have a lot of confidence in. On the final day, I caught mostly everything on, I believe the color is reddier, and then there's another one that's just like a natural color. One's got more of a yellowish, orangish belly, and then the other one's kind of got a white belly. And I think pretty much everybody does the same thing. They'll trim one side a little bit shorter. You can get them to walk a little bit easier that way. And I was just trying to throw it where I thought other people probably hadn't thrown and make extra long casts, and it was pretty shallow water, so I was trying to be pretty quiet, just moving around the boat and stuff, and I was actually surprised how many bites I had on that final day.
Was there a particular thing that you were looking for? I mean, was it a water clarity issue? Was it around a lot of grass in that shallow area, wood? But what was it that was triggering the strikes, do you think?
Definitely tried to find some clearer water, and then the areas I was fishing the final day had kind of a combination of pads and duckweed, some coontail grass, some rice, kind of just whatever looked good. A lot of times that rice gets pretty tall this time of year, and it'll still leave pockets. So a lot of times, you know, you'd try to find those pockets that you figure nobody else probably threw in, and you'd throw back in there, and a lot of times they'd get a bite. So it panned out pretty good.
All right. Well, congratulations on the win. Pretty good percentage. One tournament entered, one tournament won. We'll see if that can hold up for you down the road. But congrats getting a win in your local area. And Devin Tigan has been our guest. And I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling.
All right. Thank you. All right. What a great story that is. I mean, you know, for a guy to get a win like that in his first tournament, you go from Mike and Ellie to a guy that's just a local hammer that knows that water. I think that's pretty cool. All right, we'll get a break. We'll come back. Gary Mason, Bethel University. They won a national championship again. He's the coach, and he's next right here on Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And as I said, the Carhartt Bassmaster College National Championship presented by Bass Pro Shops went down at Lake Chickamauga. And shock of all shocks, Bethel University, the team of Carter McNeil and Cole Floyd, get the victory. Cody Huff and Garrett Enders from Bethel finished third. And in between them were Cole Sands and Connor DeMoro of Bryan College, which basically sits on the shores of Lake Chickamauga. And joining us now, a guy that, well, a lot of people say he's the Nick Saban of college fishing coaches, but maybe Nick Saban is the college football coach of he's the Gary Mason, if you will, of college football coaches. I'm not sure, but Gary Mason joins us now. Gary, welcome in. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Tom. I'm doing great, man. Just still on cloud nine from this last win, and what a wonderful time in Dayton, Tennessee, on Lake Chickamauga.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the machine that is Bethel Fishing just keeps on rolling on, because, I mean, you had a team that finished 14th in this deal, but KJ Queen and Dax Ewart, they were the team of the year. They're basically the anglers of the year in the college series, and they finished 14th. You had two other teams that finished first and third. I mean, wow, what an operation you got going there right now.
Well, thank you. You know, this is the second time in the same amount of years that we have won the Bassmasters National Championship. We've had the anglers in the classic bracket every year except one, I think, in the last 6 years. So, plus John Garrett, who graduated this past spring, Went on to fish the Bassmasters Classic for Bethel University, having won the 2016 Classic Bracket. So we've been winning tournaments and running hard for a great many years. We were the first college to ever start a scholarship bass fishing program. We did that in 2009. And I think to date, total, we've got 8 national championship rings under our belt.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely incredible. And so if I understand this correctly, the way the bracket will work, the top 4 teams, each of those 2 guys, so 8 guys, will be in the bracket. So half of the bracket is going to be made up of about the university fishermen. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that's the second time that happened. That happened back when we was in Minnesota a couple of years ago. We had 4 guys in the Classic bracket. So we're very excited about the possibilities and just can't wait to get over on Watts Bar and get our guys started. It's going to be a great tournament. And, of course, Cole Sands and his partner, Connor DeMario, is going to be in it. And those guys live right there. Once again, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, no, they will be tough to beat. Now, how do they obviously they split everybody up, their fish individually. How do they seed them? Like, will Carter and Cole have to fish against each other in the first round? Or how do they end up seeding the guys?
I don't think they'll have to fish against each other in the first round. They may wind up fishing against each other later on down the road, but I'm really not sure how they will seed them this year. A lot of times what happens is boater against non-boater, mm-hmm. but, you know, once again, that's up to the powers to be. And however they do it, though, we're going to be ready.
Yeah, you will be ready. And, of course, Watts Bar, as you said, dirty little secret. There are a lot of guys that live on Chick or around Chick that like to go over to Watts Bar and fish there. That lake has been hot as a pistol, another great Tennessee River body of water. And so I think the weights are going to be pretty strong there, even though, you know, we're talking about mid-August.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, the water's starting to cool down just a little bit, especially underneath the surface of the water. And minnows are moving, fish are starting to feed up and move up shallow. So we've seen some of that at Chickamauga. We're going to see more of it at Watts Bar. The patterns that these fish are going to be on plays right into the hands of these guys that are ledge fishermen and offshore fishermen.
Let's talk a little bit. Gary Mason with us, Bethel University fishing coach, 10 years doing that now. And let's just talk a little bit about, you know, when you have this kind of consistency, I'll make that college football reference again. Alabama always is at the top of the heap in recruiting, but they also do a great job in player development. In this, is this just about getting guys that are studs in high school, or is there a certain amount of development that you're able to give them because it's uncanny that your teams continue to always be at the top of the list in whatever college tournament they're fishing?
Well, I don't want to tell a lot of my coaching secrets, so to speak, because I do have a unique theory on how to coach kids, especially these bass fishing kids. I coached baseball for 30-something years on a, you know, little league and senior league basis when my sons played, and was just always able to get the kids to play for me. And these boys that are playing for me at the college level are no different. You give them all the tools that they need. Give them time to grow into the sport. You know, they come here basically as children, really. I mean, I don't say that they look grown, but at 18 years old, we think we're grown, but we're really not.
No.
But what I do is I give them the opportunity to mature into the sport and to learn from our upperclassmen. And our upperclassmen have been phenomenal in helping the younger guys, helping pull them up. They realize they're only going to be here for a couple of more years, and these young guys have got to carry on the legacy. And boy, that makes a big difference when you've got great anglers such as John Garrett, Cole Floyd, Carter McNeil, Cody Huff, Garrett Enders, and others that have helped pull these young guys up. And we're looking very strong for several more years to come.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a machine right now at Bethel. But the rest of the field is getting a lot better, isn't it? I mean, there are more and more schools. We've seen the emergence of Bryan College over the last few years, another Tennessee school. It seems like the heartbeat of it right now. But the University of Tennessee team was pretty good. You know, we know Auburn's been good in the past. Alabama shows up here. Montevallo has been good. But it seems to be that the depth of the field is getting better and better each year.
Yeah, and you know that's forced us to get better because you're only as good as the competition that you play against in any sport. And I can promise you that these young anglers that's not only on our team but the ones we're competing against, in my opinion, are some of the best anglers in the world. And of course, some of these college guys that went on to fish pros has proven that. You know, you look at Jordan Lee and Matt Lee and Brandon Curd and some of these guys that we played against years ago. You know, they've gone on to do very, very well. And the elites and other tournament trails, and so they have proven that these guys are as good as everyone thinks they are. I know that we've got some guys that are going to try to turn pro, and I look forward to seeing what they can do in those ranks.
And somebody's coaching them up, or they're just paying attention as far as how they are on the mic, because I was impressed on Friday when I was out there at how smooth many of these kids were when they were interviewed. I mean, I do a number of weigh-ins at the high school and the junior level, and sometimes it's hard to pull some information out of those kids. But these college kids, they're ready for the big stage.
Yeah, you know, many of them have walked across it since they were freshmen, and they have learned, you know, to speak well, and of course, you know, the college life teaches them that as well. So I'm very proud of my guys and the way they handle themselves both on and off the stage. And the best thing about college fishing, Tom, I'll tell you, is the camaraderie between these anglers. I think about the young man that was unfortunate enough to get all of his rods and reels stolen at our last event, watching Facebook and everything else. I've watched our whole college fishing community get behind that young man and support him. And, you know, that just says bunches about the character of these kids. You know, we see on TV and hear on the radio about, you know, the kids that are not very desirable to be around. But as my great friend Jerry Clark said one time, we only hear about the 5%. We don't hear about the 95% that are really great young people, and they are. You know, every kid that I've got on my team, they come to my house, they walk around college campus, and one of the greatest things that a professor ever told me one time was that he could tell when a kid come in that was on the bass team. He said they just have a different atmosphere about them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And when you look at the type of universities that are doing so well, you know, some of these small faith-based universities, it's just quality kids there for sure. Gary Mason with us. All right, in our last couple of minutes, you are, of course, the high school national championship is underway as we speak right there on Kentucky Lake. You're the director of tourism up there, plus Bethel will offer scholarships to the top finishers in the high school deal as well. And what I want you to tell us about is Kentucky Lake, because there was a lot of talk about the Asian carp. There's been a program that's going on now to curtail that I think is working and showing some results. But talk to us a little bit about the fishing at Kentucky Lake.
Well, of course, you know, August can always be a slow time on Kentucky Lake, but we've still got a lot of fish here, great fishery. This last spring we had a tournament up here, and it took 44 pounds in 2 days to win.
Wow.
So our fish are here. It's just a matter of getting out and finding them. We do have a lot of Asian carp, and they're a problem that we're trying to deal with. And, you know, it's kind of like going to war with no ammunition at first. You don't really know how to load the gun and shoot back. But we are trying to curtail these fish. Our commercial fishermen are doing a great job in helping with netting them. We're developing commercial operations to create a market for those fish where we're not just taking them out and dumping them somewhere. Actually, people are getting to utilize them. And I'll tell you something, Tom. If you've never ate one, they are delicious. And I did not know this, but they're one of the most eaten fish in the world. But they're absolutely delicious.
Yeah, people think of, you know, rough carp, and they think, well, you know, who eats carp? But no, that Asian carp, I've heard that it's a delicacy. I mean, all over the world, you know, people eat those or prepare them properly, and they can really be something. And I don't want to say that the problem was overstated, but I do want to say that, you know, a bad day on Kentucky Lake is better than pretty much a day at a lot of other places. And, you know, we do have these cycles on the Tennessee River, and I think this is something that will cycle out, and Kentucky Lake will continue to be a great fish.
Oh, I think so too. You know, our TWRA has agreed to start helping stock some F1 Florida strain fish in Kentucky Lake once again. They did that program like that about 8 years ago. Everybody is jumping on board to help, and the community, the state, and even federal offices are with us and standing behind us. So I look forward to a great success in trying to battle this situation. But you know what? We've still got a great fishery, a lot of water out there to fish, and we welcome everybody to Northwest Tennessee and the Kentucky Lake.
Gary Mason has been our guest coach at Bethel University. Gary, appreciate you as always, and congrats on another national championship.
Thank you, Tom, and always a pleasure.
We'll get a break in here.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And as promised, joining us now, one of the hottest fishermen on the planet right now. I mean, when you got a lot of single-digit finishes, all of a sudden, you're doing pretty well. And that's what Chad Pipkins has done. I mean, in the last six tournaments, he has been 9, stumbled a little bit at Winya Bay. And then in the last 4, 8, 5, 6, 9, including 2 opens. And when I tell you there's 200 guys fishing the opens, finishing in the top 10 like that is very, very, very difficult. This guy's hot as a pistol, and he joins us now on Bassmaster Radio. Chad, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
I am doing awesome, man. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. You know, I've seen you at a couple of the last couple of opens. I saw you over at Gunnersville, and you're doing some serious damage, man, on all kinds of different waterways. I mean, this is a roll here. 4 straight, top 10 finishes. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's funny when it starts working out. I mean, I don't feel like I'm doing anything a lot different. The big thing is I'm making a decision, and adjusting as each day goes. And when you get on roads like that, you start kind of believing in yourself. And when you trust your gut, generally speaking, some good stuff goes down.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt it has been going down like that for you. Kind of started at Texas Fest. You had your PB there. You had your personal best and gave us some great footage.
Yeah, personal best!
Personal best! I mean, that was fantastic.
Give me goosebumps just hearing you say it. I'm not kidding you.
That was so exciting. But, the weights were just so crazy. I mean, just talk about that a little bit about how, because you slipped a little bit one of the days. I don't know if it was day 3, day 4, but you slipped a little bit.
I fell off a cliff one day.
I'm trying to be kind here. But it's amazing the way, you ran into them, the way you ran into them, and then all of a sudden they were scattered.
It was crazy. When I broke my collarbone here in March or whatever, I didn't get to go down and look around there. And just the first day I saw that water was on Monday, and I was trying to play the odds. I didn't want to run around, so I just kind of got settled into an area, and just went deep, shallow, middle, and just kind of explored. And I thought I was going to crush them up shallow, and a lot of guys did. The last day of practice, I shook off over 30 pounds on beds. And I'm like, a couple were, 8, 9 pounders, and that storm just, whatever I was doing didn't work. And it was 10 o'clock the first day. I had 1 bass. And it was just one of those deals where I had a couple places that were a little deeper. I'm like, well, let me go check over here. Just kind of trying to, figure out what was going on, what the changes were. And there was 2 places, and they were just absolutely piled. And that first day, I caught them even better the first day when I had 32 pounds. But I caught them in a couple different places, and there was just 2 places where they were both coming and going. I was catching both pre-spawn and post-spawn fish, in a large creek on a couple little fingers, that were sticking out a little bit. And it was on fire the first couple of days. And, we had that day off, which didn't help me. I had a little after catching 31 pounds on camera, there was a few guys fishing that area, on day 3. So the fish, a little bit of pressure, I think, slid out a little bit. And I still feel like I made the right decisions on day 3. Crazy enough, because I caught 5.5 pounds. It was just one of those deals where it's I was so close every time, it just didn't happen. I knew they slid off because I could see them on my electronics. And every time I'd go to make that cast, there was 1 tree, and I would hang my crankbait on it.
Yeah.
And on day 4, I caught 3 4.5 pounders on the tip of that instead of on the insides of it. And so I know they were there. I just didn't get my bait to them. And, then I roll up shallow and try to catch a few good ones. And I lose a 3-pounder and a 4-pounder. And I go out with my wife on Monday after, and I catch a 5.5 on a bed and a 4.5 on a bed. It's one of those deals where instead of going left, I went right. And it wasn't meant to happen. I wasn't supposed to win that one, I guess, but I hope we go back, because that place is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, and part of the challenge is fishing as an elite pro like that, with all of the coverage and live and, where the guys are on the lake, and we get to see the spots. I know how it is when the guys are fishing, you guys are fishing lakes that I fish or that are in my region. I'm looking for those little lambs. Oh, I know that spot. I know exactly where he's at.
Right.
I think about Mike Iaconelli having that good day at the Classic up in Knoxville, where that house was in the background, and everybody knows where that house is now. You know what I mean? And where he'd hit that. And that's what happens with you guys. I mean, it makes it a little bit tough that way.
Yeah, and that was a community spot now for sure. It's one of those deals where, like, that place that I was fishing, it's kind of sneaky. Like, it didn't look like anything. There was two places, but for whatever reason, the one place is where I ended up catching them. And on day two, that got all that play and that, like, magic hour for me. And, you know, there was just that day off is what kind of set up. Most times we don't have a day off, but we had one there. And, you know, I'm not saying I would have won with it. You know, fortunately for me, Brandon Cobb went out and smashed him every day after.
Right.
I would have still had to have caught 25 that third day, but it would have been nice to crack that 100-pound mark. I think I needed 15 pounds on day three, but, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, I got the best 2 days of fishing I've ever had in a tournament, which doesn't happen. A lot of times you find that group of fish and they're chewing, but guess what? It's Tuesday of practice.
Yeah.
So you catch one or two and you leave, you know, but I got to wear on them those days. And I actually got to have a live camera boat in there for probably the best hour of fishing I've ever had. And I got some sweet, like, epic photos from it. Good videos. And I mean, that's just as good as it gets.
Yeah, I know. There's no doubt about it. And when Cobb catches an 11 pounder by, like, mistake, you know, he's not really even trying to, you know, just working his way in, you know, one of those deals, then you know that that's going to be his deal. Chad Pipkins with us here. Then you went to Gunnersville, which is, I only live about 45 minutes from Goose Pond, so I fish Gunnersville as much as I do anywhere else. You went to Gunnersville. Incredible consistency, 18-4, 18-5, 20-11, and 19-6. I had fished a tournament there the weekend before, and I thought that, you know, if guys thought this was just going to be a ledge thing, they were wrong. It's not going to be that way. There's a lot of fish up in the grass and so on. But some guys were on ledges, some guys were in the grass. Where were you?
I was up in the grass, which is hilarious because I love to be off the bank. But it was one of those deals the week or a couple weeks before, I had that 30-pound bag at Chickamauga in an open and almost won the open. I ended up finishing fifth because I lost a couple big ones and just couldn't make it happen on day three. But, like, I had that so fixed in the brain. If you ever hear people, like, you know, you want to force something, like, this is, you can't do it. You got to do what the fish are doing. And I'm not kidding you. I was catching them in 25, 30 feet at Chick, like, had it dialed in, went there a couple days before Gunnersville, found some new schools, and was just caught another 9.5, another 5.5, and was smashing them. I'm like, this is how it's going down. Went out to Gunnersville, day one of practice, never touched a keeper bass. And I mean, I was trying hard to catch one, but I was looking deep. Like, I was trying to force what was going on in the pool above, you know?
Yeah, right.
And that was day one. And then I kind of just started milling around, like, changed gears on day two and got around some grass and, you know, caught a few on some edges and started kind of dialing in a little bit. And then day three of practice is when I figured out, like, the shallower grass edges, like, where they were at, how the current was hitting it. And I still, like, I had never fished there that time. I still didn't know, like, when they should be where, you know what I mean? Or, like, when their feeding times were. And looking back, like, if I could fish that same tournament and knew, like, at the end of day two, if I could have started the tournament then, I think I could have won. You know, it's one of those deals where on day one and day two, I just didn't have it dialed in. Yeah. Like, I never weighed a single fish before 10:30 or 11 o'clock that I caught, like, on day one or two. I caught all my fish that I weighed from 11 to 2. You know, so that's like 4 hours a day. The other days, on day three and day four, when I started figuring it out, like, I had some, not just grass lines, some little, like, holes in the grass that I could see on my, like, little hummingbird on the Lake Master charts.
Right.
One of which I just marked. I'm like, this is where they're at. They should be over here. I'd roll up over there. And the second one I went to, I catch, like, a 5.5 pounder there on day four. Like, I was dialing it in. I just didn't know where enough of it was. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, at Chick, I was sixth after day one on the co-angler side. And on day two, I ended up missing the top 12 by 11 ounces, and I was one keeper short. Talk about that, how sometimes, and of course, a Chick, you know, with the 15-inch limit, every keeper's 2 pounds, right? So I end up, you know, basically any keeper would have put me into the top 12. But sometimes that's the hardest fish to catch is that limit fish when you just need any fish, and I needed it for like 3 hours just to catch any fish to be in the top 12. It's sometimes the toughest thing to do in professional fishing.
It is, and people don't realize, like, it's when you put it on TV, on camera, it's so easy when it's easy, you're just smashing them, but you don't see the 5 hours before that when you didn't have a bite. And I know exactly how you feel if a Chick, because guess how many I weighed on day one? I weighed four, and then I caught 27 keepers on day two. You know, I just, again, it's a timing thing, and I didn't have it down.
Yeah,
no. It doesn't help when you lose a couple either.
Yeah, and I was fishing with Jason Williamson, and we were offshore, so I had no excuse. It wasn't like I was getting backboated or anything. We weren't fishing docks. We're out there in the open, and he's catching 6-pounder in front of me, and I can't get him to hit mine, but that's the way it goes. Yeah, it happens in fishing. Chad Pipkins with us here talking a little bit. Now, you are one of the most energetic guys that's out there. Everybody sees you. You're jumping around. You got great energy and everything else. And I noticed that one of your sponsors is Bedgear, and you know, it seems to be that whatever they're doing for you, you're ready to rock and roll, man. You must be the best sleeping guy out there. Tell me about this Bedgear operation.
Man, I sleep well. I'm not going to lie. I love life, and I live it to the fullest. And it's funny how it all works out. I mean, I am extremely energetic on the water and everywhere I'm at. And yeah, I started working on these guys a couple of years ago, and I actually travel with their, you know, their pillow, their Galaxy pillow that I use. I travel with their dang blankets. I mean, it sounds a little weird, but yeah, I bring my own pillow and blanket with me when I'm on the road. And I stayed with Polinick last year and the year before, and we got his camper decked out in mattresses and their RV. I got the bed at home and just sleep better. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you think about how people, like, back in the day, 20 years ago, used to do athletics, probably wearing cotton and denim and all the things. It's like, that you sweat in, and it's just terrible. Like, they're taking that same concept to sleeping. Everything's like air, you know, airflow and about moisture wick. And if you sleep comfortable, you're going to sleep better. I mean, you ask any angler out there, like, what makes this guy so great? What makes Kevin Van Dam Kevin, or these guys? It's not that they're a better caster. It's not that they're better at this. Nine times out of 10, it's the decision-making process. And every day you go out there, the guy that wins is the guy that makes the best decisions. He knows when to leave, when to stay. And to do that, you've got to be with it. I mean, if there's any edge you can have as far as being well-rested or sleeping, like, you want to be mentally tough and you want to be well-rested mentally in order to be out there. And when you're exhausted, because I'm on the road, I leave tomorrow morning. I'm gone for a month.
Yeah.
And you're on the road, you practice, you fish. I mean, at Gunnersville, I was fishing from like 5:30 until 9 o'clock, and I was fishing almost 16 hours a day. Like, on the water during practice. And you better believe, when you go to bed, I don't want to wake up because I'm sweating. I want to be in a coma for about six and a half hours, and you wake up feeling good and ready to get after it the next day.
Yeah, well, 8 hours of restless sleeping, tossing and turning and getting up and everything else, that's a lot worse than, you know, 5.5-6 good hours in a deep sleep. And, you know, and it's amazing, too, they got these customized pillows that are at different heights, and you can go to bedgear.com and actually get fitted, basically, you know, right there on online, and they even have some guarantees and so on, so you can try different stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's super easy. I mean, it's one of those deals where, like, when you get a chance to try it, it's just like, man, I should have done this a long time ago. We sleep like 8 hours a day for a whole life. That's one of those things where, you know, you want to get the right stuff and make sure you're not sleeping or wearing cotton. Like I said, running a marathon in cotton is not going to do anybody any good. So I want to sleep well, and been fortunate to kind of hook up with these guys a couple of years ago, have some fun with it. They're energetic like myself, and to help me get a little extra sleep, you know?
Well, you know, and it makes sense. You know, the NFL teams are in camp right now, and a lot of these guys, you know, it used to be that when they would go off to some college, they would just sleep in the dorms and whatever the beds were. And they got smart in the NFL, and they understood that, you know, sleep was so important for these guys to get good rest and so on, and they're athletes, big guys and so on. And so they started doing the same thing, customized mattresses, pillows, sheets, everything that that Bedgear has. And it's the dirty little secret, man. Get a good night's sleep. And you're gonna, whatever you're doing, whether you're an athlete or you know, a radio talk show host, it's gonna help you be sharp.
Heck yeah. These guys do the same thing. They work with, I think, Dallas Mavericks and Boston Red Sox. Same idea. I mean, if you got stuff to do the next day, you better be sleeping, and you got to take every advantage you can get.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. Chad Pipkins been our guest here, talking about what a great run he is on here. Off to the St. Lawrence. I know it's one of your favorite places in the world, and then Cayuga Lake, then the AOI, 28th right now in the standings. Chad, I appreciate you so much, and I will hopefully see you at Oneida. What I love about you is you're still fishing the Opens, and I hope you keep doing it.
I appreciate it. Good to chat with you again. We'll get ready. The Opens keep us mentally tough and ready to rock and roll. So I'm looking forward to finishing strong this year, and we're going to get after it.
All right, man. Appreciate you, Chad.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We'll get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. By the way, if you are interested in trying out one of those great products from Bedgear, Chad Pipkins tells me that you can get 20% off by using the coupon code BASS20 at the bedgear.com website. The coupon code is BASS20 for 20% off. I know that I'm going to grab one of those cool high-performance pillows myself. Congratulations to the Junior Bassmaster team of Mike Abbott and Braden McNamara out of Ohio for winning the Junior National Championship on Carroll County 1,000-acre lake in Huntington, Tennessee. Dub Hartley's Hogs, since they are sponsored by Ohio Pro Charlie Hartley, the boys won by 9 ounces over the team of Hunter Alexander and Hayden Hammond out of North Carolina. Visit Bassmaster.com to sign up and play Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing just in time for the St. Lawrence River. Individual elite winners will receive a $2,500 gift card to Bass Pro Shops, and one grand prize winner will receive a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175. Plus, Fantasy Fishing winners who are BASS members when they set their teams will win an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card, which is another great reason to become a member of BASS today. Sign up for Fantasy Fishing at BassmasterFantasy.com. And while you're at the site, click on Sweepstakes for your chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shryock. The winner gets round-trip airfare, 3 nights accommodations, a rental car, a $500 gift card from Field & Stream, plus a prize package including a Phoenix 618 Pro XP bass boat with a Mercury 150, Lowrance HDS Live 7 with active imaging 3-in-1, a power pole $500 gift certificate, plus gear from Abu Garcia, Berkeley, Spiderwire, and much, much more. Check it all out online at bassmaster.com/sweepstakes. Now, going on right now as we speak, it's the Mossy Oak Fishing High School Championship presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. That is at Kentucky Lake. Then next weekend, it's the Berkeley Bassmaster Elite at the St. Lawrence River out of Waddington, New York. That'll be August 15th through the 18th. Then the Site 1 Bassmaster Elite at Cayuga Lake is out of Union Springs, August 22nd. Through the 25th. The College Classic Bracket is back on the Tennessee River, this time at Watts Bar Lake out of Spring City, Tennessee, August 27th through the 29th. Now, if you're interested in having a front row seat to an elite event, priority registration is now open at the Bassmaster Marshall Program. Just visit bassmaster.com/elite for more information. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.